Development Engineering.
Christy, you're next.
Christy Molman, Land Use.
Mark McCauley, County Manager.
Steve Bacon, Park Region Wastewater.
Mike Deano, Cavalry Construction.
Eric Olimo, SGA Engineer.
Mike Odebrand, Olson Engineering.
Jeff Brisson, Moss Brisson.
Jamie Housley, Jordan.
Don Hardy, Berger Abraham, in the audience. So.
Steve Madsen, Construction.
Rob Swanson, Clark County Public Works.
Julie Olson, Clark County
We wanted to welcome everybody to the first meeting in January for Development Engineering Advisory Board. Just wanted to remind everybody to turn their cell phones off and the meeting will be recorded. We wanted to start out with review and adoption of the meeting minutes. If people had a chance to review the...
I just have one add, and it's really not that big of a deal. On page two, first full paragraph, fourth line. Sentence says Ellinger added that it is easier and quicker if items come into the land use. It just says packages. I would think that would say in packages. And that was the only thing that I saw. Otherwise, with that small little edit, I move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. And just wanted to recognize Todd Gaither as well. Moving to the next item, review and upcoming events. Greg?
So quickly, you'll find that on page two of the agenda. Upcoming Board of County Councilors work sessions and hearings. They generally have work sessions, if held, every Wednesday. Can begin as early as 9 a.m. You'll want to check the county website for that under the grid. For current updates on that. Also, typically hearings every Tuesday, 10 a.m., with the exception first Tuesday of the month, which is in the evening session at 6 p.m. One work session in January, it's the review of the vacant buildable lands model. That's upcoming on Wednesday, January the 18th, 10:30 a.m., and it's our word or understanding that there are no Planning Commission work sessions or hearings in the month of January.
Greg, do we have more of an understanding for what that would be?
Vacant buildable lands model board.
I do not know who is leading that up.
That would be Bob Poole, I would imagine.
Okay. I can certainly check with Bob and get more information back for you on that.
I think that ties in with the CRDC project at all. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Is the CRDC land for jobs?
Yeah. Does that come into that at all?
What about that?
Well, the work session on the vacant buildable land model that we're having on 18 January.
Not related to the CRDC project?
I don't believe so.
Do you happen to know who may be leading that, Marty?
Vacant buildable lands model?
Yeah.
Maybe
Bob Poole and
Oliver
and planning.
Jordy.
Okay. I'll get with somebody on the planning and get back to Deeb on that.
Thank you. Review upcoming events.
Is there some, Jamie, you mentioned something about an appeal or a sort of comp plan adoption? Is there a hearing for that coming up?
Yeah, I've got the schedule here. I can tell you when that is.
So it's Thursday, January 12th here next door at 9 a.m. We just got the schedule from the hearing board this morning. They intend to take both oral argument and response from the county and before lunch, and then after lunch it'll be replied by Clark County Citizen.
Can you get some info on that too? So that's a county hearing or a state hearing?
It's a Growth Management Hearing Board hearing, but they're hosting it here. Most of the parties are.
So will there be a decision after that?
There'll be a decision. I think it's scheduled for February 9th-ish.
Yeah, Friends of Clark County have 30 minutes opening. Clark County Citizens United has 30 minutes opening. Clark County has 80 minutes to respond. And I would think that there are a number of representatives here. You got you're part of it, Daniel Kearns, Tim Trahimovich of FutureWise, Steve Hornstein, Sarah Mack, Heather Burgess, Christine Cook, and Susan Drummond. So there are quite a few people who will talk. And then, so there's a break between the openings and Clark County's response. Then there's lunch, and then Friends of Clark County and CCCU each have 10 minutes to respond to our presentation. And then we're done.
Is that something you can email out, that schedule?
Yeah, I can send it. Yeah, okay. I'll send it to you, and you can launch it to everybody else.
We'll do that.
Other announcements by board members?
The only thing, since we were talking about it before, I'll put it on the record. You may want to go and look at the opinion from the Washington State Supreme Court on December 29th in the Snohomish County versus Pollution Control case. They reversed the Court of Appeals decision that held that stormwater is applicable to vesting, so stormwater is no longer a vested right. There's a lot of dicta in there that has a lot of people both on the municipal and private land use side, especially scratching their head.
So the permit has its own timelines in it. So we still would be following the permit timelines.
Permit timelines are what's applicable.
Okay. So the permit timelines. So they had the 5-year thing, which was different than the state testing. So we're just following whatever's in the permit now, not the state testing.
Yeah. Would be long. To answer Jeff's question, it only applies to those seeking vesting under the building permit statute, the subdivision statute. The court is for exempted power development agreements, so it's not discussed in the case that they didn't remember. It also has, there's different language in the development agreement statute, so like I said, it's maybe future litigation around that, or hopefully some legislative fixes.
So can I ask a clarification?
Yes, sure.
So Jamie,
yeah.
An individual group party comes in, makes application for either a site plan or a subdivision.
Correct.
At which point in time is the stormwater design fixed and vested for the licensing project?
Under county?
Well, in light of this court case.
So you have 5 years to go from your preliminary approval to some sort of construction activity under the permit where you have vesting applied.
So a preliminary approval.
I can say something about how the permit works. What we call a fully complete application of vesting for stormwater permit from the stormwater permit. That's a fairly common term. So it's like the SEPA preliminary plan, that type of thing, fully complete application. Contingent vesting, all that stuff doesn't play into the
For storm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm really slow on this. The difference between the new condition and the way the county used to run it, if you ran a pre-app, you had a certain amount of time to run your plan set and gain approvals, and if you met those timelines, your vesting was good back to the pre-app.
Contingent vesting. Yeah, so the county and state rules under subdivision and all the analysis of court cases say the county can extend it, but the way that this new court found is if the regulation derives from state mandates like stormwater, that vesting doesn't apply because it's not a local land use regulation. So whatever's in the permit that matters for vesting purposes.
So contingent vesting, the way I would understand that is contingent vesting would apply for all land use rules. It would not apply for stormwater.
Correct. Yes. So when do you know what you have designed and bid and price and cost
at fully complete.
At fully complete.
So you don't get the benefit of the counties or any other jurisdiction that has contingency benefit. Again, development agreements are
okay, fully complete. That's when you can get a 5-year, you have a 5-year window. Even if the rules and regulations change.
Correct. Right.
That's the permit says. Now the next permit might have a whole different timeline now.
Yeah,
we don't know.
And the actual deadline is going to be in the next permit because they wrote it into the 2013 permit as being in 2020, but that permit expires in 2018. So they may write it into the next permit so that when our manual became effective in 2016 January, they may extend that out to 5 years from 2016 January to 2021 January.
Thank you.
Thank you, because I was tracking that. So I was trying to figure that out as well. So good question.
We need a flow chart.
I think we clearly need to add this on as we get to the work plan. This is a pretty big item. I think it should be an add-on.
So then what was it then that they overturned before they said it was then subject to contingent vesting? Is that
right? No, so before the Court of Appeals, what they had held was that stormwater regulations are land use control ordinances for the purposes of vesting, because under cases like Newcastle and others, they physically touch concerning the land and like impact the they may impact the finances of the project. They don't require you to modify what is physically on the ground. The court in this case said, well, we understand that that's what the Building Industry Association and all the counties are arguing, but we think that the legislature didn't mean that to apply to anything that's mandated by the state. That's effectively what the So because the state mandates it, we don't think vesting applies.
And when you say vesting, any vesting? Contingent or just contingent vesting?
Any vesting. But the way that the permit is written.
Okay, but the way our permit is written.
It's 5 years.
Okay, very good. Good. Thank you.
Any other board member announcements? Moving on to the favorite part of the agenda. Nomination of chair and vice chair. So.
For 2017.
We do want to do one at a time.
Yes.
I move to support Mr. Risson as chair for 2017.
I second that.
So is Mr. Risson vice chair?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Well done, Mr. Actually, that would be it. Maybe two.
Yeah.
I don't want
it. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So, vice chair.
Who hasn't done it?
Who was that one?
I'm
going to
nominate Steve Baker.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to second that.
Yeah.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to hand it off to you.
Oh, right now?
Yes. I'll continue.
That's what we've done.
I like my chair.
Yeah,
right?
We could have given it to Terry, though, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's
Steve should have nominated Terry.
Donnie got a jacket here, bud.
So I will continue the dialogue, so you're not on your own.
All right.
Okay. Okay, we'll move into the work plan. Wanted to start that discussion. And if you'll see in the back of your packets, from the last meeting, I took what I heard from
comments. This will all be coming back to try to change version of the document. But we're planning for 2017-2018. And we're going to start here and get Mohler's input on additions, installations, et cetera. There is a clean copy in front of that, which we get the video accept the track changes. But what I'm intending to do is take all the comments, make one final report, and then we'll end up distributing that. And there'll be a board commission meeting to do the presentation. Then Jeff, you and I will participate in.
I think we did. I think last year, Mark, with the charter change, I think we had it as part of your manager's meeting with the board. Should we schedule in on that? Or you don't hold those anymore?
I'm not doing those anymore. So if you'd want a work session, we could do that.
Okay.
I only had one kind of scrivener thing on that footer.
Yes, that would be correct. I'm sorry.
I have several comments in here.
If I might.
Yes. In the first paragraph where we talk about the DPAS and the 9 cost out 10 members, now I'm looking at the track changes. It talks about 7 members are selected and appointed by the county manager. Is that, should we not keep that in there as part of the description of the board?
And we can stick with that. What I was trying to do is have continuity, because when we added Mike to the board, Mike to went back to copy and paste what that email chain was. So I just wasn't sure we could continually add that in. I just didn't. I want to make sure it's correct. So.
Mark, are you appointing all members of the?
Yes.
Okay. I think that needs to
stay in.
I think that needs to stay in. And just change the 10 members are selected and appointed by the county manager.
Okay.
The panel consists of the other 10 members of the convention.
In the 2 at large, we don't have at large anymore?
We do have 2 at large.
So we need to leave that in too. Okay. 7 members are selected and appointed by the county manager. That would be all 10 members.
Well,
ultimately they are. I think the only distinction in the, and we don't have the bylaws here in front of us, but recalling that, I think it's the 2 at large, which is preceded that with just a recommendation from Deeb to Mark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, is I think what we'll find in the bylaws. So ultimately, Mark approves all 10. But there is a minor
right.
distinction that the 2 at large come preceded that is a recommendation from Deeb. Given that it's not in a set specific, professional area. So.
So will that now be 3 at large, or because we now have 10?
It's
8 and 2.
I think it's 8 and 2.
8 and 2. Okay.
Yep.
Because
Mike's position was in a specific area,
okay.
Commercial or or industrial and development.
Okay.
We should keep in track and make these changes.
I have to take it over.
Yeah, she's been working.
And if there's any questions on this, like the massaging this language, Greg, I'm probably just going to make.
Yep, I'll give it to Rosie.
So Jamie
picked up the calendar, right? Was
yeah,
that,
yes.
that was already mentioned, so.
The second comment I have is on page 2. I'm kind of flipping back and forth between 2 or off. Under development-related issues, number 5, I looked at changes to shoreline exemptions, submittal requirements for low impact construction. County staff initiate a new exemption process that will be live in early 2017. I believe that's already underway. And I think that's a little misleading that I believe that started in 2016.
Started, okay.
The next comments I have are on page 4. Um, Under the action items, number 8, that has been struck, work established for county code with regards to retaining walls. I didn't see where we didn't include that in accomplishments. And did we include the extension of site plan and plat approvals in accomplishments? Don't see where that was included in accomplishments.
We have it down on the process improvements.
Process improvements?
What we talked about, the
process. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Yep, I see it. And then, so those are fine as is. Last one was final site plan process improvements. As far as monitoring items, I would like to keep that. I've been working somewhat with Susan on getting some clarification on the final site plan process because we've been getting comments from the building department as items that are final site plan related that are not really final site plan related, and we need to get some clarification on that. And I know that she has been talking with not only with Angie but with Dave Merritt and possibly with Jim here about that. I haven't heard anything back from her on it, but I'll follow up with her on it directly. But I would like to keep that there as a monitoring item.
So keep it on there and accomplish. We'll say accomplished in 2016, right, instead of 2015.
You could say 2015, but new issues have arisen, essentially, that need to be worked on. So I don't know if we want to indicate that or simply leave it as is, because as new things come on board, that's part of the ongoing monitoring.
So on the final site plan process improvements, is that closely enough related to the final plat? And then I know there's Barrett, but do we want to combine?
They're separate.
Okay. Do we want to keep them completely separate?
Yes.
Okay. For the same reasons that I think final plat process, we're just kind of ongoing because it keeps changing.
Yes.
I think very good point.
Okay. And those are all the comments I have. They will, but I believe that those of us that are going to be on that committee will be coming back to Deed and bringing everybody here up to speed as well as what's going on with that. So I don't see any reason why we can't keep leave those in. It's just totally fine. Yeah.
Leave them as is.
Yeah. Deduction for residential development. Okay, that was going on. I don't see where we have, from the previous work plan, we had infrastructure percent deduction for residential development in the comprehensive plan as an action item. And last time we met, we were planning on moving that to a monitoring item. I don't see where that made it onto the monitoring item.
Is that number 6?
I don't
think that covers it.
I think we need to keep that separate. I think that, I mean, BLBM is one thing, but we need to focus on the infrastructure percent deduction specifically.
So I'm going to make that note, the infrastructure percentage deduction
as a monitoring. So you've added, you've expanded on change number 2 under monitoring items, comprehensive plan update, focus on affordable housing and development, code tools, parenthetically, infill lots, accessory dwelling, and southern incentives. I had a note on here that the comprehensive plan hearings board decision is something that we should be monitoring. Is that, it's number 3. Sorry,
number 3.
I just see it. Okay. And
if there are, time probably. I'm not sure when the board is going to be voting on the presentation, but I'm just going to offer that if you think of stuff, send me an email. I'll add it on. So.
I think we typically target first quarter around March, if that would work.
For work session?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how much time would you like for that? I think we've gone between an hour and an hour.
We've been able to get through an hour. We could have used more time, but it's pretty self-explanatory in here anyway, and the board has historically been able to ask the questions if they wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah, we got 2 brand new ones that might be loaded with questions.
That's a good question.
Sounds
good.
A lot of fun now and then.
Okay. Hour and a half in
better
March.
Better end early than go long.
Sounds good.
I have two questions. I'm just expanding. In our special work groups, two big developed, or I guess builder-driven issues this year to be tackled was the SFR stormwater plan stuff and soil amendment. We kind of covered that under stormwater committee, but I think we should probably stress what that stormwater committee was, that it was for SFR stormwater plans and soil amendments. And we should probably put that in our accomplishments as well. I think that was our most well-attended meeting.
Have you brought that up?
It's done.
Yep.
It's done. All good.
Yep. So that is done. And then the other one was the corner lots and site distance stuff. And we have that on here. We have corner lot committee, but we should probably add site distance. And then we also need to probably add that under our accomplishments. But I tentatively added up the accomplishments because we had the committee, we made recommendations, and it's still awaiting the next biannual code amendment process.
Yeah,
so it's not an accomplishment. We made recommendations to the board, and I think we can stress that that we're still waiting to do that. But we made a recommendation, and we need to stay on top of it because I think it's gone cold a little bit because there's such a time period between when we made recommendations and the biannuals.
I think we did that in February last year.
Yeah. So we just haven't done a biannual for the comp plan.
So recommendation to the board for corner lots and site distance.
Yes. From the subcommittee.
And Mark, I just wondered if there's stuff that we have not added that the board is interested in us monitoring as well. That's another topic that we can add on for sure. So this is not a closed book.
Yes. Right. So you can do mid-year revisions, right?
So another question, if I may. Last month, we talked about, per the minutes, bonding certain code or construction permits. Would that be something that would go on here in some fashion? we did make a recommendation. I'm just not sure if what we do with that now. Marty, what do you?
We have a meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We have a meeting tomorrow.
Do. Does it go? Does it go on our work plan in any fashion, or just not?
Maybe it's monitoring.
Okay. Yeah, I think that we should keep track of it because at the end of the day, once it's completed next year, we'll say provided input, her recommendations and provided input and recommended revisions to bonding.
You did make a recommendation.
And so that should maybe be a mail.
I think our effort on that, Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, but is to try to hit the spring
yes.
code amendment updates yeah. is what we're targeting there. So,
cool. But the discussion we had in December was beyond just model homes. It was about
yes.
Allowing final site improvements in the subdivision to be ongoing as you can actually pull building permits.
Yes.
So there's a number of things around bonding for those final kind of improvements and still allow home construction to occur. Right. I've had experiences elsewhere with how to do that.
Yeah.
And it may be that there's give and take on if you want to build sooner, a bond may not be the answer. You might need some other one. You give some letter of credit or an escrow account or something that's more certain. We don't want to tap on the companies. We don't want to have to go through those hoops. So just we'll have the discussion to start tomorrow, and we'll map out some things the next couple months to get something here before the biennial code meetings.
Right.
And Don, specifically, that's residential building permits on each class where that code revision is going to be. With bonding being held.
So I don't want to overcomplicate this. We can say no, you're overcomplicating it, but because it was specific to subdivisions. But are site plans applicable also? For example, you develop a 40-acre site, you want to get started on one particular vertical of the building, so you deliver the whole thing at the same time.
A little different. Right now you can go concurrently on a site plan. You can build the site improvements at the same time you're building. Project. You can't a lot of times get a building permit before the engineering's approved.
Right.
So,
right. Two separate topics.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and the bonding is specific to subdivision statute.
Yep.
58.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I've
added those in. Are there other counts? I'll do a refresh on that, send it back out.
Nice work, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Way to delegate.
That was awesome. Thanks, Don.
Good work, bro.
I do have one real quick comment.
Sorry.
On the work plan, item 10, related to the road bonds. I think the way it comes through is actually more correct that you review the need for road mods that are almost always not these are almost always approved. We've got road mods that denied somewhat routinely, but there are
certain types of them that are
almost automatic. So I think that the wording that we had before is more correct, that we really want to look at the ones that are like driveway separation.
Ministerial.
That just very always get approved.
Why non-controversial.
Why do we have to do
this?
Do you agree with that, Marty? Or
still my call.
Yeah.
We can definitely take a look at it. We already have a tiered approach where we have a minor, as I'm sure you're aware, a minor and a technical, and maybe revisit. Are there certain other reoccurring cases where it's clearly a minor, if it belongs at all, that sort of thing. So it doesn't belong in a technical. And
I know that with some of those that are no-brainers, for lack of a better technical term, that we simply have to just address it in our project narrative pretty much but we still have to fill out the application for road modification. Those are the free ones, though, I believe, right?
Or a minimal fee. They might be 150 okay. if it's a minor road mod.
Okay, but whereas with more technical road modification, we have to have a separate write-up with exhibits potentially.
Yes, yes.
Stamped and signed by
full report.
Engineer.
Yep.
I just want to make sure that we don't go backwards somehow and get it more complicated, because I mean we have to address it anyway in our project narrative, and if that's all it takes, I think we're there. But it's just the fact that you have to fill out another form. No, it's just another step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, administratively, it seems like if there are things that are rubber stamp approvable, then the code should just allow them. I mean, why would the code not be written to allow something that is always just rubber stamped?
That's a great question.
You know, if there's certain situations that these things come up and it's like, oh yeah, that's the only way we ever deal with these, why is it not an issue of a code modification to allow it outright rather than having to even go through the process of a road mod for something that is going to happen regardless?
In staff's defense, correct me if I'm wrong, even the no-brainers go to the road mod committee?
Not the minor ones.
Okay.
Yeah. The technical ones do.
It at least, I would think that it at least gives them a chance to take a look to see if there would be alternatives. Driveway spacing is usually one of those items. Access to arterials when there is no other access available is another one. I think that it's just the situation. I can't believe I'm defending staff.
You can't believe it.
No. But it gives them the opportunity to look at it and say, yep, he's right, that's fine. It's just, why wouldn't we need to fill out an application form and everything else? Because even there are certain code sections too that we write up and say, hey, this is how we're meeting it, or how we're not meeting it, but we're coming really close, and hopefully staff has the latitude to be able to say, yeah, you're right, you know, you're meeting the intent of the code.
Yeah, I guess I remember when we were talking about it a long time ago, and it was things like, you know, the difference between, and my numbers probably aren't right, but you know, 2 and 3 houses on a private driveway.
Yeah.
And they always approved the 3.
Yeah, we fixed
that. And we got that change. Yeah, and that's the direction
those
we went.
Types of things, yeah. So, that are just the rubber stamp.
And that is what we're here to do, and if there are other ones can identify, we might as well bring it before the board and propose the changes to staff.
And that's maybe that's the on that is if there are certain things that flag lots where the driveway spacing can't be the standard, right. Why not just have an exemption for flag lots that are right next to one another and be done with it, so you don't have to go through the process, those types of things.
And I think if there's a black and white part of this, if perhaps the description.
It has to be pretty black and white and easy to describe, otherwise you're going to start getting into the, well, it sort of fits it. It has to be, you know, fairly black and white.
It could be a bit of a blank exemption. I don't know if it's discretionary, but it's something that kind of what Mike is suggesting, which we've seen in other jurisdictions, is you're not going through the road mod, but you're describing that in your project area. Mm-hmm. Giving staff the ability to look at that.
To look at it.
Make a determination on it. I mean, that might be the whole point. Something's absolutely here's that category. Some are like in the middle, and some of them like every single time.
So we want changes to that language at all, or are we comfortable with the language that's in there?
Well, I think that what we can take a look at, for instance, access to arterials. If the only frontage that you have is on arterials, we should not have to put through.
Yeah.
Here. That's we should change
example.
That.
Well, we want to look at code changes.
The language you talked in the language changed and.
In the.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Language
in terms
there,
of work plan.
I think it's the that versus these. I think Andrew's point is good.
My comment was really work modifications that are minor, non technical. So can take it right to boards, and I'm going to leave those back. I think that's dealing with that issue. battle and...
Change back to that.
I mean, the detailed discussion we might have as part of one of our meetings, perhaps, is what I think.
Yeah.
For now, I think it captures it.
Perfect. Any other?
I didn't see on here, maybe I'm just not seeing it again. No, it's on here, okay.
We guess it'd be Carter, I'm gonna have the quickest meeting.
We were thinking about the pressure.
And I think, and then the next thing I would...
Put this on my record.
I would assume what we're gonna do next meeting, because we'll have a finalized version of this, is to sit down and prioritize and actually do what it's on this.
And all that stuff, and it's being worked on. All right, I believe, yeah, yes.
So Jeff, will you be leading that at that point, or is that...
That's gonna be... Well, there'll be handoffs. I mean, I'll still be here.
Yeah.
I'll talk about the changes that we're making. We'll work with those, and I think that'll be final. I'm saying, and Jeff will...
And when we go to the commissioners, for...
I'll lead that.
Point at it, but that's what I figured. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Normally you lead.
Yeah.
As for... Then I lead in Steve's course.
Yeah.
Unless I die.
That's a year
now. My foot's not that bad. I'm okay.
So just one more thought before Greg, there was another item to be added to the agenda for next.
Yes. Dean Benning wrote me this afternoon and asked for time. His topic is the dedication of open space critical areas under developed lots and stormwater tracks. So, yeah, he wanted some time on that. A little bit lengthy on the topic there, but
dedication of
open space critical areas.
Yeah.
I think it's underutilized lands.
You see,
and stormwater tracks.
What does he do?
Is he concerned that he's
I can tell you. Heath and Dean on that. Yeah. And what they're concerned about is that the county's past practice has been to just routinely accept slivers of land that are excess to a development. And they're hard to get to frequently. We get complaints about maintenance. We have no use for the slivers of land that we take. And so we're going to review our practice, and we're likely not going to take those slivers of land anymore because, you know, we're under cost pressures, and we don't want to maintain land that has no beneficial use to the county. So they wanted to take that to the county council, but I wanted you all to hear about it beforehand.
These are in the county's opinion, non-functional slivers of land. I mean, basically no...
Yeah, pieces of land that we have no use for.
I can understand.
Are they mandated by code?
What, that we take them?
No, that we have those slivers. That they're created. Yeah, no, that they're created.
They're created through the course of development, and I don't know how that occurs, where...
Maybe if some examples were provided, that would be really helpful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure Dean will bring that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it our understanding that any leftover land or open space or whatever dedicated to the HOA.
Right.
And
well, we've got a bucket load of these things, and we'll have examples for you, and we can probably tell you how we came to own them.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
There's projects where a smaller project or certain projects where there isn't an HOA that necessarily is established, and in those instances, that's where I could see this taking place. And I guess the only thing would be is... You wouldn't want to, obviously, that there would be some sort of process for the county that if it's a benefit to parks or whatever, that they have a chance to review and consider before passing. That would, that's one of the just first things that comes to my mind.
That's
I just wanted to make sure that there's a lot of confusion between jurisdictions right now. A lot of jurisdictions, not Clark County, I don't believe, but are requiring, 25% parks and or whatever, and you can use a certain percentage for stormwater and this and that, but you can't use it for that. And I know Ridgefield's gone that way.
chemist.
That's not the issue here. It's more the. It's more the left.
Steve is on the line.
Because that's a whole other argument. That's a whole other ball of wax when you're talking about what you can use and can't use, or I mean, it becomes. That's not the issue we're talking about, though, right? Okay.
No.
Good. Are we adding that to?
That'll be in February.
Okay.
Yeah.
February. All right.
Is there any consideration too with that? There's probably some other nonprofit entities out there that, where maybe they would be an interest of it, and I guess if we're to go that step, and it's something we can talk about later, but maybe those parties are informed, and that might be something property there. If there's an open space piece, and if it ties in with something, like let's say along Burnbridge Creek Corridor or something, and Riverkeepers or someone wants to take on this piece or whatever, then it can be gifted to them. So I'm just thinking that Joe Smith comes in, he doesn't know what to do, he doesn't have a purpose with it, then maybe it's just a matter of the county saying, hey, here are some entities, or it's presented to them, or maybe then they could say, hey, we would be interested in this property. Something along those lines, if the county isn't. That was my thought.
So here is one instance that I'm aware of, because I know the folks, but I'm not involved in it. When 88th Street was widened, there's a parcel that was bisected with the high voltage power line. I don't know if it was BPA or BPA.
Okay.
Right along 88th Street. The same owner owned a full 5 or 10 acre parcel, and once that road was widened, the small little piece that was left over on one side of that easement became non-developable, non-useful. And so what does that owner do with that piece?
Mm-hmm.
I think is maybe what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And what I'm envisioning, the county would say, now we really don't want to maintain a parcel half the size of this room, but the owner is, that's what they're left with. So that's what I'm envisioning in my mind is the challenge. And I see the counties. Who would want it?
Well, in a case like that, if the county undertakes an effort to put in some public infrastructure and we take land for the infrastructure and we render useless the remainder, mm-hmm. we should probably buy the remainder and keep it.
There's maybe consideration
for that, though.
Not thinking acquiring right away.
Yeah, I mean, we have to make the citizen whole
in
one way or another.
BPA lines and remnants from BPA lines are altogether a different ballgame, I think, though. Dealing with
the
BPA.
Yeah. There's probably examples of something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have little slivers and remnants in the road fund, and you know we try to give those pieces to the adjacent landowner, and frequently they say no thanks. Mm. My assessed value is going to go up, and I don't want to mow that extra piece. So,
right.
So we're stuck holding the bag on many of these things.
Okay. Yeah.
So this year we're going to be converting all building permit types into our new system, and we'll probably in the fall start working on our business requirements and analysis around land use, engineering, environmental. So when would Dee want to hear about the plan for this year's posse implementation? When here, so then in February or March?
February or March. I mean, the sooner the better, probably.
If you're ready.
I'll see if February will work.
If you're ready to.
It'll be a high level. Here's what we've done. Here's what we're doing. Here's the schedule of the releases for these various building permit types.
Yeah.
Essentially, we're going to wrap up all of residential by the springtime, I believe, and then we launch into all the commercial. And the versions of commercial through the rest of the year. I'll have Carol and maybe another person come in and give a presentation.
Great.
Yeah, just an observation with March, because the hearing board decision will be out by that time. I think that there will probably be some agenda time doing that.
Reserve
in March.
Yeah. Just put a placeholder.
Placeholder on. February seems like a date.
For that, yeah, that'd be great. Unless, if you're ready, Marty, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll check and then I'll get back to folks tomorrow or Monday.
Okay. Anything else on the work plan or no? Public comment? What are we going to do for the next hour and 40 minutes, 20 to 10 minutes? I guess I could filibuster. Go ahead, sorry. Yeah, no. I was talking about me, not you. Please.
Yeah, 2017 is probably going to be the biggest year in a decade for auto and our biggest markets in Clark County. So I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you guys. And this is a great conduit for us to get our issues out. I would notice that I'm paid to be here. So if you ever want to add a production builder spot to the membership roster, I'm going to be here anyway.
So you're paid to be here.
My time is paid to show up at these things.
I'm not used to being chair, so I'm glad you jumped on that. I was like,
point here, Mark.
Oh, you guys want a stipend or something?
No, Steve, we appreciate your participation.
Having said that, no, in all seriousness, I see this as a really productive venue for bringing our issues forward. Clearly, the stormwater issues, the way it resolved out, was extremely helpful to us. Hopefully, the bonding issue is going to allow us to proceed more quickly on
what in particular was helpful with the way the stormwater issue resolved?
With us particularly in terms of the resolution on the 385 issue, which we would not have been best if had not gone through that process. We would really thank Rod Swanson for the work he did on that, because now we're not subject to the same cost increases that we would have probably experienced.
385,
4385,
the older version of stormwater code, in which they don't have to put up.
In between.
I was just going to say, it's the in between. So most of your new subdivisions would probably be 385.
The newer ones we're working on now would be 386.
Yeah.
The ones that started this year. The ones that are 385,
the ones that are 386. Even on the 386 projects, though, we made headway because we were able to get I believe the status now is that if we can demonstrate 100% infiltration, we can, there's an opportunity at least to get a buy on soil amendment.
I don't know about 386. That's not on 386.
That's not on 386.
Mm-hmm. No. 385.
That was in 385.
In any event, it's been a useful process to answer Odd's question. Very useful process.
But on 386, we are looking at being able to have the developers take the strippings and amend and place back.
We had a lot better guidance and clarification of using the existing topsoil of the site, stockpiling, putting it back in lots.
Right.
So the way it was originally written, I think it missed a lot of the details. And when you read through it, it really looked like you had to import foot soil.
There was a presumption that the soil had.
When you read through what? When you read through the county initial guidance, the first crack at it. And I think a lot of it was DOE stuff wasn't very clear. It was just transposed. And now our stuff's a lot clearer.
Okay. Yeah. And now I think we're going to find that it might be good for the developers, more economical for the developers to go in when they strip the topsoil and things like that, test it. If they need to be amended, amend it, and then put it back. Is kind of where we.
Yeah, or you might not even have to amend it if it had enough organic.
You may not have to amend it. Exactly.
You just test that.
It may be so that you don't, and then you meet at that point the soil
meets
amendment.
Meets the 5% organic component.
So you wouldn't have to, once the developers do that, you wouldn't have to do that.
Us in the landscape industry have been doing that for decades. Stockpiling topsoil and putting it back in the landscape areas.
And you know what? It's been amending too.
It's just this very detailed criteria on a concept. Like, we're doing these detailed measurements on something that's a regular practice now. And the landscapers go out and they amend the soil. And they do it not because it's mandated by the code, because the grass grows better.
Yeah.
So that's why they do it. You don't put grass right on clay.
All these subcommittees have a great impact, and that particular subcommittee had a wonderful
sometimes
impact,
they do.
Can I make a general comment? Just because we have
Can I finish my
public post? Oh, you don't. Sorry, Steve.
It's the only time I get. So I just wanted to make a couple comments about the work plan going forward. Like I said, the bonding issue is going to be potentially very valuable to our business to achieve the level of production that we want to do under the bond. The partnership with the Parks Department, of course, is a big deal for us. We've been extremely frustrated over the last few years in terms of how we've not been able to provide an economical park product for the county. And there are reasons. I'm not saying it's there's a lot of just inertia, I think, process, and it just needs to be, we've talked about it already as far as the what can be included in the park, what prescriptive measures, how much flexibility and discretion there is, because there's a lot of things production developers can do that may or may not be more economical, or may or may not be in the better interest of the county, but right now we don't really feel like we've got a way to explore that. Not a good set of rules to guidance to explore that. So really looking forward to participating in that. And then the last thing was the process improvement. What we're experiencing now that we have made some gains in some of the permitting processes is we're seeing, these are like little individual things, nothing that I would want to individually bring forward, but a lot of code interpretation or implementation issues at the inspection level. And I think it would be, my goal would be that as we go forward in process improvements that we make sure that we're including it all the way down to the final inspection. If we're gonna have a stormwater committee, and granted, Jim was part of that committee and we had our inspection team as part of that committee, but there still seems to be some issues out there floating around, and it still seems like the inspection component could be brought into the bigger process, I guess, in terms of process improvements. It's just a general comment. Name names or sites, or anytime you talk about inspections, it's like this spot that day, and it just becomes a ad hoc argument about everything. But it's common enough, at least for us, that it would be nice to have a dialogue or globally about inspection.
So very quickly, a couple things. We've experienced quite a lot of turnover on staff. People have left, people have passed away, we've hired new staff. We have, I think, 4 or 5 new inspectors coming on board. I met 2 this week, brand new. So there is always a spell where we have to build on consistency. So we've not had a stable crew of staff to establish that. And we've had no lead inspector to attend to the issue of consistency. We are hiring these new positions. Jim is going to be looking at another lead inspector whose focus is going to be on consistency of inspections across the board. We've not had that in the past, or not in the recent past. So hopefully by the summer months, we have staff and a lead in place that can help with that. I will say that I've been out looking at some of these sites, and even with production builders, given the sites and the crews that they have, and the skill set that some of these folks have, soup to nuts out there.
Perhaps the buildings are in the same spot you are. I mean, everything's going crazy, so everybody's hiring, you know, whoever they can hire right now. So that's why I say it's, I'm not pinning it on staff. I'm just saying that it seems like there's obviously, you know, stuff that can be done to make sure everybody's at least stays on the same page more often.
I've overheard and been part of recent discussions about some townhouse products that seem to have similar challenges with building of firewalls and separation. So, if there's something that you all see that's very pervasive, that is across the spectrum, you know, whether it's Ajo or Kingston or D.R. Horton or UOT, just let us know. If it's something that's, hey, we see this all the time.
Sure.
It's a firewall separation. It's a this, it's a that.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure that that implementation component doesn't get lost because we're doing, I think this group does great work. So.
Thanks, Steve.
From the technical to the practical, from the technical side that we deal with, I want to acknowledge the staff's participation and good faith efforts to really find solutions, because at the end of the day, at least for me, why I'm here is probably the same reason we're all here. We read about folks in our community who struggle to find affordable housing, and it's not just it's not necessarily us, but it's people we know. And the little things that we, the technical things we deal with here, have practical application out in the workplace, or in the field, in the community. And I just really want to thank the staff. Mark, thank you for being here today. And to acknowledge the collaborative, by and large, the collaborative environment, which is as good as I've experienced with staff as it is with consultants. Everybody has different sort of opinion. But at the end of the day, I find the staff is on the same page. That we, in the practical part of it then is that rather than housing exceeding incomes by a factor of two, it's a factor of 1.5. We do everything that's possible to keep housing affordable in a marketplace that is just relentless in increasing costs and pushing things to an unaffordable level. But I just want to say that's why I'm here and what I'm looking forward to in 2017.
Hopefully we can impart some of that wisdom to our
Good luck with that. You want to run for governor?
Yeah, there we go.
But really,
that would fix it.
The impact we have is the real impact. It's the final. It's the final connection point from the bureaucracy to the homeowner. And we have, with the staff, tremendous. There's real influence there. Opportunity for influence. Respond to knowledge. I look forward to 2017.
Yeah.
And let the record show that Marty was in attendance today.
And in a good mood.
Yeah.
I mean, no, man, seems like you were.
You and I were in the same mood in December, sir.
I know we were. Many months before. I'm not really sure why we're going to do that. But.
Pre-holiday stress.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, all right. Any other public comment? Good for the order. All right, adjourned. Thank you. Happy New Year,
thank
everyone.
You.
Mark, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Glad to give you a hard time, Marty.
Christy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Steve, the public gentleman, do you happen to know his last name?
Matson. M-A-D-S-E-N.
I remember you saying, last January, 2017. All right.
Here we are. Could be one of the craziest years ever. Is that thing still recording?
Yes.
Still.
Greg, thank you.